And I love what Pastor Chris said. I love it so much. I love it more than 100%.
Discover personally how the Word of God can affect and make a change in your life through the ministry of Pastor Chris Ross. Pastor Chris is the founder of Breakthrough Ministries International Church, with multiple branches in South Africa and abroad. He is a healing evangelist for the Jesus the Answer Outreach Ministry, an outreach crusade bringing healing, deliverance, and breakthrough to many people. Breakthrough Ministries International is a vibrant church with young, energetic people full of zeal and fire for the Lord. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast channel to receive new messages every week. Now, let's listen to Pastor Chris.
We read the scripture now for this past few, or this month. We read it once again. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, how shall it be salted? It is good for nothing but to be cast out, yes, and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Father, once again, bless the reading and the preaching of this word. Amen. So just a reminder, shortly, salt is also used to produce oil. Yeah, because it is used in the oil industry. And it's a very important ingredient in the production of oil. It's called industrial salt. It's used as a component in the drilling fluids, as in the fluids. It's put in there so that the drills don't heat up too much and break. And it is used in the extraction of crude oil and natural gas. That's just some information why salt is important and how we are connecting the salt of the earth to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So it makes, this salt makes an essential contribution to the stability of the drill hole and the lubrication. Lubrication means it is smooth. Amen. And the cooling of the drill head. It's very important also in raw, as a raw material for downstream steps in the processing of crude oil for the industrial water treatment. This is just information for you. But salt becomes good for nothing if it cannot be used to produce oil. And that is the message this morning, that it is expected of you as a child of God and as a Christian to produce oil. If you don't produce it, then you are useless. So I'm going to help you just a little bit about this oil. Hallelujah. Let's call out my message this morning, the shaking of the olive tree. Because I'm going to focus on the shaking of the olive tree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why must you produce oil? Because it is the anointing oil that will break the yoke. The anointing oil that will break the yoke. The yoke that keeps people in bondage. Yes. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. It's a favorite little song. It is actually unique to Breakthrough. Cyril one day just started playing in one of our camps. I heard a song that Benny sang many years ago and I couldn't get the right words. So we tried it and then eventually we made our own song. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. There's no such song, huh? You can go type it on Google. It's just no. It's a BMI song. Oh, yeah. A little bit was the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage, but it's not how it is. You must try and find Benin's version and see how our version fits with that, all right? It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Listen, that's all the song. It's a song like that. It's just, there's no other lines. Is it powerful? One more time. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. One more time. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. But now we say it. It's the anointing that's raining on me. It's the anointing raining on me. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. One more time. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And his anointing's falling on me. I feel his anointing falling on. Wow, clap for Jesus. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. And many of you are caught in traps and snares and bondages and nets. And you need something to cut the net so that you can be free like a bird. And that something is the anointing. When it breaks the yoke, you are set free. Hallelujah. You see, devils, when an anointed man comes, they recognize levels of spirituality. That's why in the New Testament, there was an incident where the devils beat up a Christian. They said to this guy, "We know Jesus, and we know Paul, but who are you?" Then they stripped him naked and they let him run down the street because he had no power. A Christian without power cannot defeat Satan and the devils. You need power. You need Holy Ghost power. You need the fire of God. I like Dr. Rodney, them, they talk about the fire of God. That's why he said, receive the fire. So last night, I also received fire. If I can't cut it, the nets, I will burn it off you. Are you listening? The anointing. The precious anointing. In a few weeks' time, I'll have a conference called Catch the Anointing. Just keep watching. It's going to be advertised this week. And you must come and attend. You see, why this is an important subject? Because whatever happens here is about the anointing. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. Actually, the anointing is the gift. Yeah. The gift of God and the grace of God for ministry. You need it if you want to do anything for God. And we, as a church, we are always encouraging you to serve the Lord, isn't it? And when we mean serve the Lord, it's not just coming to church, but to do something for God. But in order to do something for God, you need the equipment, the tools. And the only tool you really need is the anointing. When I was on the stadium the other night, the first night, I looked at all the paraphernalia. And my mind was rushing through the expense of hosting such an event. The money we looked at. Some of us see things that others don't see. So we saw all these little stuff on the stage. on the floor to prevent the grass from being spoiled. The sound, the lights, the screens, the gathering, the flying in. So I'm thinking. And it's like the Holy Spirit immediately spoke to me. He said, all this you see is nothing to do with anything that you might be thinking. It has purely to do with the anointing. Yeah. So actually, the anointing is the main thing that the Christian must seek after. Oh yeah. Bishop Dag writes in his book, the anointing and the Holy Spirit is like the same thing, because Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, that is, I was anointed with the Holy Spirit. So the substance with which he was anointed was not oil, was not Vaseline, was not butter. It was the Holy Spirit. So you can't differentiate between the two. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody that don't understand, but just hang around. Today is for people that want something deeper. Last week and the week before was for you. This is for somebody here that wants the anointing. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me clearly on the stadium, and he said to me, seek the Holy Spirit, not money, not how to organizational things, because once you get close to the Holy Spirit, then all these other things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. So we seek the Holy Spirit, and we seek this anointing, the gift of God and the grace of God for your ministry. Amen. Say, I want the anointing. Put your right hand up and say, I want the anointing. Say, I want the gift of God and I want the grace of God for my ministry. Hallelujah. That's why when anybody praises you about what you've accomplished, you say it's by the grace. What must you say? By the grace. Like say Joanne was now saying, God has given me a good wife. Then she had to say, by the grace. Anything that you have is by unmerited favor. You don't deserve it all. You don't deserve it. Your children, by the grace. Your house you live in, by the grace. The food you eat, by the grace. And the more anointing, the more grace. The more anointing, the more grace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you must become a source of oil in this world. Then you become good for something and not good for nothing. Because whoever comes into contact with you is bound by whatever forces, then the anointing on your life will break the yokes in your family, in your house, in your workplace. Whatever concerns you, you will be a carrier of the oil of God. Hallelujah. And you will be a good example of the salt of the earth. Do not allow yourself to be good for nothing. Glory to God. Now let me just come back to the shaking of the olive tree and the Revelation 11 chapter 3 in the NLT, please. In the NLT. And I will, you are the Revelation chapter 11 verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy during those days. Amen. These are the two olive trees. Hallelujah. So you will become a source of oil, because the olive tree is where we get the olive from. And the olive is what we press to get olive oil. Give my oil here so I can also just use it as a sample for them, as an example. There it is. This is now not a clear It's a blue thing, so it's not so clear. But this is the oil. Where does it come from? It comes from an olive. Is it a fruit? Yeah. The olive fruit. I'm sure you've seen the olive fruits. When I was in Jerusalem some years ago, I visited the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Garden of Gethsemane is like an olive grove. The main trees there is olives. It was actually mainly part of a little olive farm, that garden where Jesus went to pray. There's a place where I go to pray sometimes when I go away. It has olive trees. And when my secretary told me they've got an olive grove, I said, yes, book that place, because it will remind me of the olives, you see. But you don't see this on the tree. You see a little fruit like a... Yeah, it looks like that. They hang from the trees. And you know how they come off the trees? They get shaken. But before I tell you about that, let's look at this thing here. He says, you will be a source of oil when you become a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to verse 11:3. I'm going to show you some video now, just in a minute. All right? Are you still here? I will give power to my two witnesses. Anointing is power. Glory to God. You need power. Power to hold on. But one of the great signs of God's presence on your life is the power to witness. Are you hearing me? How do you witness, Pastor? You witness in two ways. You witness by using your mouth to tell others about Jesus. And yesterday at the stadium, we all got this little track that I already gave to many of the church members, how to tell another person about the Lord. Amen. Have someone ever told you that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? That thing. That's one powerful way to witness. And strangely enough, all the Christians in this church must understand that if you don't use that, then the devil will eventually grip you and cause you to backslide. So you need to constantly confess. In the little book I wrote, Now What, we say, tell others what happened to you. Are you listening to me? Now that tell others what happening to me is your testimony. And when you say, what must I witness? You tell people what happened to you, simple. And you also tell them what happened to you can happen to them. That Jesus Christ can change a life. Hallelujah. And you can witness about the good news of the Lord, that God wants to save people from darkness, wants to save you from your calamity, can turn your life around. However your life is now, God can turn it around. Oh, my God can turn it around. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's another way to witness. And it's more powerful than the one of the speaking. And the second way to witness is to witness with your lifestyle. Are you hearing me, Christians? Because you do get people that can speak very well. And you can be easily impressed by people's words. But the lifestyle is the loudest form of witness. Oh, yes. I went to pray one day in a place called Anatoth, also Stellenbosch, but that was wine farms. You know, vineyards. And in this wall where we have prayed, they've got these many little posters with wonderful sayings, Christian sayings. And the one saying really caught my attention. And I don't know who's the writer, I forgot the writer, but it says, we must often preach Christ. We must often preach Christ. And if necessary, sometimes use words. I have to say it again, because your mind won't grasp it quickly. We must often preach Christ. Or we must always preach Christ. I'm almost sure it probably was always. Or often, I'm not sure. We must always preach Christ. And if necessary, use words. People will be more transformed by seeing your life than by hearing what you say. Hey, I've seen people that can speak and testify, but their lives have not changed. Your testimony and your much speaking means nothing to people if you can't show a lifestyle of good Christian living. Oh yes. You mustn't be the loudest auntie in the street. Flukens, kyao. So say, yad bisam. I don't know where that comes from. I just made that up right now. Yesterday, Dr. Rodney said, many of the people here that even were performing are not born again. The Klopsa. Yeah, the Klopsa was there yesterday. But he said, I'm not stupid. I'm inviting people to the stadium that's not born again because I want to preach to non-believers. So the Klopsa was also not born again. And as he was doing that, I saw the crowds of people dancing on God sorg vir die mossies. They were dancing. I tell you, the way they did the steps, it was like these have been born again for a long time. But when the altar call came, almost all of them that were dancing was also at the altar call. Oh, there it is, yeah. And if when necessary, use words. And I thought to myself, now, what I actually want to say to you, I want to close. Put my pulpit there quickly. I want to say something to you about this life of a Christian. And I want to assure many of you that your short walk with the Lord will not produce oil. Do you see? As much as I'm excited for you, Morgan, Imogen, you are here, you are new. My heart is excited for you. I know that it's only after you have stayed long and after you have been shaken and beaten will you produce oil. Too many people, they come with all this excitement and they like what they've received because it's new. But now we have a devil. You see, if our Christian life was without satanic attack, we would have survived. So many enemies fight us. We're supposed to be salt of the earth, but we lose our flavor. We can't really influence the world. Why? The enemies are too many. First of all, it's the flesh. Now let's start there. Most Christians fail there. The temptation. The world the life you were used to. You came to Jesus, now you're excited. Now you hear, yeah, in this life, You need to do away with alcohol abuse, drug abuse, fornication, fighting, swearing. Your life must change. And most people can't change there. And they come to breakthrough for a while. Have you noticed that sometimes the church is full and sometimes... So people are there and then you say, where's that brother that came? You should call him a brother because he sounded like a brother. Because he was witnessing with his mouth but not with his lifestyle. So he said, no, the brother's not here anymore. He said, no, mate, the preaching here is a bit too hard. They say you must come to church every Sunday. Then you must come to pray. Then in the mornings early, you must read the word. Nee, man, ek sukkel, ek kan nie lekker nie. Kan nie so lekker nie, want die vlees. Die vlees wil slaap. Die vlees wil 'n bietjie drink as dit nou lekker party is, verstaan? Almal drink kan nou. Ek wil ook mos drink. Die Bybel sê mos is verkeerd om te drink, die paaste. So most Christians fall away there. That's the first phase. Weggesê. Right. Nou, the crazy die ander enetjie, hy druk die. He beats the flesh. He beats the world. Look, Paul said of Demas, he said he also had helpers. Then he says, Demas has forsaken me because he loved this present world. We've got Christians here, brother. And especially young people. Young people are enticed by the world. So we really try our best to bring young people to the place where they can be sold out for God. But it's tough. I can't put you in a cage. If I can be with you every day like I was with my children, in their school, in their sports field, it's different, but I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't be with you all the time. You're going to fight many devils for yourself. Are you with me? You're going to have many temptations. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to say no to the world. No to lust. No to many things. So Paul said, we went on this missionary journey, but Demas, he has forsaken me because he loved the present world. There was a young brother like that in our church, and he loved the church, but he still loved his unbelieving friends. And I kept warning him. I said, you can't do this. You're going to backslide. You know? And he did backslide. But because he loved the church so much, he doesn't really stay away. Then sometimes he comes back. So I gave him a new name. Do you know what I called him? Demas. And he laughed every time he laughed. I said to him, Demas, you love this present world. Because at least he was an honest Demas. He said, no, Pastor, I was partying there. I was partying here. And I said, how come you don't have money? He said, a bottle of wine. I didn't know. But a bottle of wine is dear. A bottle of wine is expensive, especially at these so-called nightclubs. Let me not linger that point. I want to come to the deep Christian today, all right? So you'll understand my slap now as you're a fool. If you don't have victory over the flesh and over this world, you know, we have these wonderful choruses that Ron Canole taught us. Goodbye, world, I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures. I'm talking about that level of Christianity. So many of you must still say goodbye, world. Many of you. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way. Listen. Listen, that's only the first part. If you can beat that part, there comes a worse part. Sorry for the bad news today. Now you're in the Christian realm. You're not a sinner. You've left behind the drinking, the smoking, the dacha, klavajas. Is klavajas a sin? No, klavajas is okay. Dominoes. Dominoes is okay. Okay, because these are domino people here. And these are domino people. Everything is not a sin, eh? Please. But now, this is what I want to talk to you about. Now you have left the world behind. Now, other challenges face you in this life. It's no longer the world enticing you. It's either people in the church become a problem for you. Jealousy, envy, malice, not from the world, from our own brothers and sisters. So the people don't fall away from the church for the first reason. Now it's the second reason. You say, but why did you leave? And you're not yet, listen, you're not yet at the place where you can be a yap to anybody, because only when the oil is flowing from your life can you break a yoke of somebody else's life. We are still struggling with you in the development phase of your Christianity. Because you see, the olive is a fruit like that. But only after it is. Let me show you how the olive is taken from the tree and how the oil comes out. Hey. If you've been around for long, you've heard my story. My story is full of criticism, embarrassment, attack. You see, Rodney said, you see me now, you say, yeah, because you got money. Do you know what I've been through? Do you know what I've survived? Then I put this hand on you, you feel the power. Oh no. This oil that flows from me came by shaking, by beating, and then by crushing. Because only out of the wounds of your life can God pour anointing oil. No wounds, no oil. Because when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says the water and the blood came streaming down. It's deeper, so some of you don't understand what I'm saying, but nevertheless, there's a few that I want to talk to you this morning. Show them the video, how they shake the olive. This is how they get the olive from the tree. You, I'm talking about you gonna produce olive oil, but it doesn't just come. You first have to be shaken like that, huh? I mean, how many of you will remain here after such a shaking? Says Lanka, long time gone, because the shaking is too much. Go back to Revelation. It says two things. You'll be a witness. Your life must now start to show. Because the oil can't come from a polluted vessel. The oil can't come. You must change your vessel if you want to produce oil. Listen to me, Mama, Papa. You must change your vessel. Then number two, you must witness by. Then it says prophet. Look at the word prophet. They will prophesy. Amen. Last night, I walked into a prophet walked past me. What is the work of a prophet? He speaks the mind of God. So if I pass you by and God says, tell him what I'm thinking about him. and tell him the plans I have for him. So that's what happened yesterday. That's prophetic. So he says, this is what the Lord says about you. He's the prophet, but he's now getting the mind of God for me. Yeah. He says, your letter, this is not the end of your ministry. This is now, the letter will be greater than the beginning. It's the best, he said, is yet to come. So he's talking the mind of God. That if you have oil, you can prophesy. When you go twak praat met jou prophecy, see. Drome en goedes wat sy het van rotte en goedes. No, a prophet speaks the mind of God. That's a true prophet. And many times you see people call me prophet. Prophet, prophet here. Yeah. Let me also correct many of you so you don't misunderstand. Because the Cape Town church has gone so far left, we had to bring the balance back and say, look, you can't not have respect and admiration for your pastor. You will never receive from the man of God. Yeah, we needed to correct that. But I also want to make it very clear to you that we mustn't go to the other extremes where you think everything comes from the prophet. No. The prophet is just a servant of the Lord. The main person we worship in this church is Jesus Christ. And more from your lips must come his name more than the name of your prophet. Are you listening? Yes, we want you to respect the prophet, honor the prophet, because by doing that you can receive from the prophet. But the prophet is just a servant of Jesus. Simple. He's not Jesus himself. So you must mention Jesus more. And you must mention the Father and the Spirit more. And then you also have respect and honor for your prophet. I just want to correct so you people don't go to the extreme. Are you with me? Because we can't say something that God is not saying. I can't say something that Jesus doesn't want. Then I'm out of order. Oh, you understand that? All right, so he's number one, a witness. The olive tree is a witness. And the olive tree is a prophet. Hallelujah. Because with the anointing you can prophesy. Paul said, I wish that you all speak in tongues, but more that you prophesy. In other words, I can speak the mind of God to you. Now listen, prophecy doesn't have to be while I'm walking like this. I say, Shushedi Yara. Stand, sister, stand. Then I give you no, I'm not giving you a prophecy. You are greedy for a prophecy. Bishop Derek spoke about a casual prophet. So in other words, even if I just talk to you casually, we are not in the service, I'm there, and I'm telling you, I think you must try this. Do you see? It could even be a word from God, from me, but it wasn't like, I spoke to you casually. Say casual prophet. It's a casual prophet. Try this. I was in a car with my pastor, I also call my prophet, and he told me, don't let your son study in South Africa, send him overseas. I think he will be better. He says, I think he will be better if he gets more global perspective. And I did everything in my power to do it, and the Lord opened the door so that he did it. Now that he's back, we can see the big difference of the obedience to the prophetic word. Oh yes. All these connections we have and the blessings we have is because I obey the voice of the prophet. Are you listening? But let me come to the main part, and I won't be long. I'm closing now. Tell your neighbor, it's almost finished. Tell your neighbor, don't rush the service, because I feel you are so tense to go back to sinning outside there. At least while you are here, you are not doing anything wrong. Look how nicely you're sitting still here. As soon as I let you out by the door, you become lustful with the sisters and all these bad things. So shit, man. Yesterday, the pastor was preaching, so he said, the devil's a hot man. I wasn't saying that, no? You heard him yesterday. Devil's a hot man. It's so nice, he's an American, so he can say it, you know. he can speak a bit of Afrikaans. But I want to tell you people that, you see, you can only become a source of oil when you survive the shaking. Isaiah 24:13. Isaiah 24:13. Now put it in the King James, because it talks about the shaking of the olive. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land, among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. Hallelujah. You can become the source of oil by simply having the life of an olive tree. Because God sees you as an olive tree. Say amen. But the olive tree is shaken every year, once a year. Say aina. And the olives are harvested from the olive tree by the shaking of the tree. And listen, after the shaking, there's still no oil. Eh? It's only causing the falling down. Because olives are many. So if they pick it, it's going to be too long and too expensive. So by the shaking, they all fall down. But still no oil. Kom, ek kom gou terug, ek remind julle. Ons praat nou nie van die wêreldse sonne nie, wat julle gou terugval nie, ne? Ons praat nou van, dis nou verby daai. You are past that. You are past lust, worldliness, flesh. At least you've leveled up. You've decided to stay longer. Now, the shaking. I don't know how many of you around here has not been shaken, I'm sure. If you stay a little long in Jesus, I don't know how many months, your things will start to shake. I think sometimes your family becomes the first shakers of your tree. Your friends, they shake the tree. Many of us have deep family-rooted problems. Amen. I think God wants to break the outer man, so that the inner man can be released. I'm deep this morning. I don't mind an amen or not, because these are deeper. I can't always stay on this penny hippily level, man. Watch, when he wrote the book, The Release of the Spirit, he said, God needs to break the outer shell so that the inner spirit can be released. The outer shell protects us. We want to put on this camouflage. We want this glory. But there must be some breaking. The breaking of the olive oil, that the oil come out of the inside. Are you with me? So when something's happened to your life that's not so nice, sometimes it's embarrassing. In my case, if you want to know why I'm anointed, I can tell you where was my shaking, where was my beating, and where was my crushing. And if you don't think I have the oil, it's not important for you to recognize me. I find confidence in that a servant of God, like last night, when he passes me by, it's not just him. Benayin walked past me and he stopped and he said, who are you? If they start to do that, then they must know. They are spiritual people, so they recognize another spiritual man. He said, who is this? I don't know if it's because I'm handsome that people always stop to look at me or what. I can't think that is that, because I'm getting older now. It's the spirit, the deep calleth unto deep. Out of the mouth of the water sprouts. O Heer, ek is diep vir oggend. Ek moet eindelijk in a bishops conference nou gaan praat. My mother was born, well, not born, she was okay. But somewhere in her life she got some mental disorder. We found out earlier that her mother was mentally disturbed. And I don't know how far back, because the omas don't tell the children of the naughty things they did. Die omas kom ons nou mooi voor. Maar die oma het ook oor die draad gespring toe sy 18 jaar oud was. Sy vertel hierdie kinders, daai nie is het waar, sy is te fortuin. Vertel jy van die stoute goed wat hulle gedoen het hier. And then the curse goes to the generations of the children. So my grandmother went to the witch doctor, the slim man, because she was born with a disorder and many of the children had the same disorder. It's curses. Yeah. So when my mother was a very intelligent woman, beautiful and intelligent, and she became a school teacher, one of the few in the family that had a degree, just like me. Oh yes. But then the schizophrenia. Hey, it was not nice for us as children growing up. Because it's like the communities are so low educated, they can't understand somebody with a mental disorder. That's why I have compassion for people with mental disorders. That's why I welcome you all into the church. Almal se koppe wek mos hier lekker nie, verstaan? And I saw in my mother, her mind is not working right, and she had to go hospital in, hospital out, hospital in, hospital out. But the embarrassment was that, you know, we were not like a happy family. I'm telling you my story because I'm not ashamed of it. Huh? And you also have different stories. We never had alcohol problems. Maybe you have that. Maybe your father's a drunkard. But there's always this thing then. Life is never easy for anyone. And you must not forget that sometimes you think it's just how the world goes and how life goes. No, sometimes it's the shaking of the tree. Because God wants to take away certain things. One of the first things is pride. Because God can't work with you if you are very proud. And sometimes you people that grow up in poverty, thank God for the poverty, man. You won't stay there, but thank God for it. Because it will, if it takes away the pride, it has taken away one of the greatest enemies of your life. The shaking. Then in the beating, did you see they were hitting sticks there? Show again how they hit them with sticks. Show that video. You see the beating? You see? It's not enough that you don't fall off from the shaking. Now the stick comes to beat you. Hey! Leave it. Take it off. Now, whilst we are busy preaching, I'm almost finished. Go to the crushing of the olive. It's a little video where a guy turns the wheel and the olive is crushed. Now I become a pastor. I overcome the shaking of the embarrassment. The embarrassment was not nice. I didn't even know how to talk to a girl because I thought if I bring the girl to my house, oh Lance, da gaan die meisie sien nie, maar die man se ma as hy lekker na koppie, is dat? And every time the boys, we had we were 5 boys and 2 girls. So when the boys have an argument, as hy is, jy sien lekker jou koppie, soos. Een van ons het mamie se siekte gekry, is dat? Hey! So I grew up with a very inferior complex. Like I'm standing in front of you now, I can speak, but it was never like this, huh? This is after the shaking of the tree. For me to speak is like, because we never had nice clothes. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, every year there's like a fade. I don't know if you understand fades, like the new things come, trends. Then there was a time when the kids had roller skates. Hy was mos die inding, hy gooi jy net so. Ons kan net so kyk, ons kan niks bekostig nie, want my pa het niks. Al die geld, hospitaal bills. That wasn't the worst thing. Sickness is not the worst, it was the embarrassment. Because my mother would stand up in a big church meeting and the pastors then, they didn't know much. Hulle was dom pastors, man. As hulle die vrou gehad getuig, maar die vrou sien lekker nie. Dit is hoekom ek nie van julle laat getuig nie, want ek weet of julle lekker is, hè? En ek het mos nog geleë by my ma, verstaan? Sy kan nie laat 'n siek vrou daar staan nie. Now she talk different stuff. Now she's an embarrassment to her family. But they don't care, they laugh at us. Hey! We were shaken! Never thought we'll make it in life. me and my brothers, Pastor Clinton, Pastor Charlie. Then God's hand was on me since I was young. Because the same sick mother, she recognized. Actually, she was attacked by devils, my mother, because she was very anointed in a certain way. The Lord would sometimes just show her something in the Bible. She told me all the stories, but because I was small, I could never make sense of it. Now that I'm bigger, I can understand that the Holy Spirit was using her, but the devils attacked her. Sometimes the devils attack your parents because of you. Because something is coming after. You need to destroy. You see, Herod, he wanted to kill all the children because he knew Jesus was coming. Kill the children. And then the angel said, Joseph, run to Egypt. Shaking! Not easy, oh. Then when she gave birth to me, I almost died when I was not even 1 year old. I suffocated in blankets. But the Lord saved me. I was blue. Few minutes longer, I would have been a corpse. Then growing up in poverty, never have anything. Tall cup, that was. Today they don't only have phones. Phones is the only tatties. We used to play tall, roller skate, bicycle. We never had anything. We just had to look at other children do things. But it's fine. Shaking. Embarrassment. Eventually we got our wives through all this embarrassment. Then in the ministry, now you come. Now you think you're going to be a good pastor. You get another pastor tells you, you're never going to be a great man of God. Your church is going to be small. You'll never have something big. You need to take that beating. Now you do good to people like I'm doing good to you. Then tomorrow you turn around and you go and you say bad things about me. You break away. You take away you also don't want to go away alone. You want to now tell a few people, you must come away from this church. Because you're not interested in that people. You want to use them for your political agenda to break the pastor down. So on my journey to the anointing, I also had my top associates come against me. It's almost like, let's rather close the church. Pastor Charlie, Pastor Robin, I don't know if he's here. Get Pastor Robin in here, please. Pastor Charlie, stand. These were not my first. He's now one of my, these are my show. They were not the first. There were others before them. But I tell you, the boat was shaking like this. And then, it's not enough the shaking, the beating, then there's the crushing. Do you have the video of the crushing? Now just a little, with the wheel turns on the oil, I want to show. Forgive, I should have given him that as well. Well, in the olden days, they used to have this big wheel. Then the olives are laying on a flat table. Then they push this wheel around and it comes. It's a heavy weighted wheel. It comes over the olive. And as the olive is crushed, then the little oil comes out. So they have a little funnel where all the juice falls in. And when the juice comes out, then it looks like this. As they call it virgin olive oil. It's not been touched. Now look, when I lay hands on you, I always take oil, I put it on my hands. But there's no magic in the oil. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is symbolized as oil. And you also say, I also want this. Look, when Peter was preaching, I think it was either Peter or Paul was preaching, and then this one guy in the city said, I give you money for that power. He was praying for people and they started speaking in tongues. He laid hands on them, they're speaking in tongues. So this guy, he was a magician. He said, hey, I don't have that magic. I think Agabus. He said, give me. I give you money if you give me that power. And Peter said, to hell with you. God's anointing isn't received like this. It comes in the shaking, the beating, and the crush. I feel so sorry for you. You just here for a short while. I think, Yara, they must still go past the world, the flesh. What if they get shaken? Will they still be here? What if they get beaten with a stick? Another brother or sister insults them, takes them away. Maybe your position is even taken away as a church. Whatever leader you are, and you think, I'm leaving, but that was part of the beating and the shaking so that oil can come out of you. Oil can come out of you. Sit down, you guys. Then the last thing about the olive tree is, it is a tree that can grow to hundreds of years old. It can stand long before it really produces the olives. That's why when Jason had those ladies up there, he said they've been with us long, Johan and his wife. You kind of have that. They have been shaken a bit. I'm sure if she had to testify this morning about shaken, she could have told you a bit of the shaking and the beating and the crushing. But now they're still around. And then, it's not a tree that stands this for a while. It's a tree that stood and survived. Hey, what have you been through? Ask your neighbor, what have you been through? And what have you survived? It takes 15 years for the olive tree to bear its first fruit. And most olive trees reach between the age of 300 to 600 years. And the older the tree, the more survival it has gone through. It survived what? Forest fires, natural disasters, and human beings cutting down trees. To become an olive tree, you must be someone who can survive many years in the ministry. They asked me this morning, take off, can we take off the sign? I said, no, we can't take off the sign. BMI, happy 21st birthday. Because the sign also tells you, I've been around for a while. This olive tree you see in front of you as I close, as I land this plane. I didn't come yesterday. Not a novice. Not a novice. Pastor Brown was praying for young people to become evangelists. So I told my son, Stan, because you're young. But as he was coming and walk around, I thought, I'm also an evangelist. Many pastors in the city don't want to recognize my evangelistic ministry. But let me also stand because I wasn't called by people. I was called by God. And many people here today have been brought to the Lord through the evangelistic ministry of Pastor Chris Ross. So I stood. And although they didn't recognize me, adequately, like Bishop Doug Ewart Mills, Rodney Howard Brown, Benny Hinn. You don't need a lot of people to tell you you are called, eh? It was my sick mother who said to me first, God has called you. The most, that's why when Rodney says, it will be the most, what did he say? Unusual people that will recognize something in you. Most unusual. Oh yes, you don't need the whole church to say, you are the sister now. Most people are not spiritual. So the one that recognize you in the spirit, that's the one you must take note of. So later when my ministry started getting somewhere, they all said, Os het gewit. Zij lieg, man. Zij die gewit, zij het gehoop, ik maak het niet. You were hoping that I don't make it. But I don't mind that, because you were just used as part of the shaking and the beating and the crushing. I can't give up and stop serving God because of a bit of shaking, a bit of beating and a bit of crushing. How will I produce oil without the three processes? Julle val te gou terug, julle man. After 15 years, the olive produces his first fruit. First fruit. I'm going to plant the olive tree in the garden. I actually ordered two, but the guy never brought it, because I wanted you to see the olive tree. The garden is symbolic of many things, but the one thing that's missing there is the olive. Because it is that oil that will break the yoke of Satan. If you don't have oil, then your salt is not really nice and salty. Oil makes things smooth, isn't it? The lubricant. If you don't have oil, you can't move because your parts are stuck. There's no quick movement. If there's no oil, the food don't taste nice. Your ministry will not be nice. That's why nobody comes to sit and listen to you. The oil is lacking. I can put chips. I bought my wife a birthday gift, an air fryer. We always buy a toasters, air fryers that we also can use, but we say it's for her birthday. So I bought an air fryer. So they said you can make chips in the air fryer. So we put this ready-made chips, we put it there. Say, quick. But when you eat it, it's not the same as the one that lies in the oil. Something's different. The one in the oil tastes nicer. They say it makes you fat. But I must tell you, it's nicer. That's why, you see, all these fast foods, Kentucky, that stuff is thrown into deep oil. Called deep fry. So when it comes out, come on. Come on. I always take my guests here to Out Bay, there where they sell the fish. That's where I throw grilled or fried. That woman say for me, grilled or fried. Then I think to myself, you must eat grilled, boy. You must eat grilled, boy. You must eat grilled, boy. Because you don't, your stomach is getting bigger. But then I think, what is nicer? I say fried, please. They say baked potato or chips. Now baked potato is not put in the oil. But the chips, hey, it lies in the oil. I say, give me chips and onion rings. But it's not healthy, Pastor. But it's nice. The oil. The oil will make you nice. Not for the world, but for God. Because you've gone through the shaking, the beating, and the crushing. I see Christians who just come for a while. Some even stay a year. Some stay 2 years. Then I don't see them anymore. What happened? They couldn't survive the shaking. They couldn't survive the beating. Couldn't survive the crushing. So when God must use them, it's not there. Mashikotayata. What have you been through? What have you survived? Bow your heads in prayer. Here's my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. This morning I just wanted to talk to you about the shaking of the olive tree. Deuteronomy 24 verse 20. When you beat the olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and the widow. This anointing that I have is for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. I lift it up, Lord. Gently, settle, gently. Come and quench. Oh, this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Yes, my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Oh, yes, my cup, I lift it up, Lord. Come to quench all the thirsting of my soul. Bread, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Yes, my cup, and make me whole.
And I think Pastor Chris Ross shared very well. He explained the message very well. So I think I'm going to ask him to share every day. You know, the Archbishop brought the prophet, and I'm also bringing you. So you explained the word very nicely to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages of Pastor Chris, tune in to Chris Ross Ministries podcast. Remember, faith cometh by hearing.